This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents When We Were Crowned by Orrin Hadley, narrated by Justine Eyre. Chapter 1. The threats to her reign were supposed to be over. For the most part, they were. Now that she'd been officially crowned, Layli expected nothing more strenuous than making laws and dealing with her citizens. Downstairs, in the main audience hall of the palace, dozens of people waited to present their dispute to the newly crowned Queen of Norrheim for judgment. She, unfortunately, was still in her suite, with her head hanging over a chamber pot, fighting against the one thing she hadn't expected, morning sickness. Sitting back on her heels, Layli waved for a glass of water, not even looking when Tristan pressed it into her hand. Her eyes slipped closed. Then she drank deeply, paused, and passed it back. For a long moment, she said nothing. For her, this was a battle of wills, and she wasn't used to losing. Tristan wasn't as patient.
Lay, you okay?
She nodded, but that was all he got.
Is it the baby?
Again, a nod, but it wasn't as strong. Finally, she tilted her head back and groaned. Eggs were a bad idea. The massive man hovering protectively over her just chuckled.
I'm sure we can work around that. You ready to get up yet, pup?
Nope. In fact, she paused, pressing the back of her hand to her lips. Ask Connell to deal with my morning duties.
He's going to want to know why, and you can't put this off forever. Lay, you said you were going to tell him a month ago.
Not putting it off forever, she promised. Just maybe a bit longer so we can enjoy it.
And he deserves to enjoy it, too.
Gently, Tristan ran a hand down her hair.
Lay, are you still happy about this?
I am. I'm just worried that once people know, everything's going to start falling apart. Please, just ask him to deal with my duties this morning so I don't end up puking in the audience hall. He reached around her back for her elbow and carefully helped her up.
Pop, today's a big day. The queen not showing up to her first official public appearance.
She let him lead her to the edge of her bed where she sat. Layli pressed a hand to her stomach. She still couldn't feel anything in there. Her muscles were as flat and hard as they'd been a month ago. The midwife said she was about 9 weeks pregnant, based on her missed courses, and no one would know if she could keep her breakfast down. She'd been putting this off for as long as she could, but no matter how much her best friend tried to convince her it was okay, she still wasn't ready. Layli shook her head. Just tell him I'm not feeling well.
Lay.
Tristan moved around to stand before her, ducking to look in her face.
Why are you hiding this?
Again, she rubbed at her belly. A child was growing in there, and she knew it. The midwife said I shouldn't tell anyone until it quickens. She said to wait another month, at least. He nodded, but the look on his face said he didn't agree.
Why? Lay, why shouldn't you tell?
Her answer was weak. In case I'm wrong. That got a chuckle. Shaking his head slightly, Tristan just turned, heading for the door to the sitting room. Jerking it open, he stuck his head out.
Timoteo, can you and Connell come in?
Tristan, Layli hissed. He ignored her.
No, it's not a problem. Oh, and have one of the guards notify the petitioners that the queen is running late. Thanks.
What are you doing? Layli demanded. Pulling his head back in, the giant of a man eased the door closed.
Bragging. I did that to you, and in a few months you're going to hate me for it. So I intend to enjoy the good parts while I can.
He grinned.
And I figure your husband should know, especially if he's going to get all the credit.
With a groan, she flopped back on the bed. He was right. She knew he was right. What she didn't want to admit was that a little part of her was terrified. She was pregnant with another man's child. Everything about this was improper. She knew it, they knew it, her husband and his lover knew it. The one thing she couldn't be sure of was whether or not the reality of her carrying a bastard would change things that had been so good up until this point. Once she had this child, there would be no going back, no way to deny the things she'd done and was still doing. A soft tap made her look up. Tristan checked, then eased the door open wide enough for the prince consort and his captain to slip inside. Since Laylee still wasn't truly dressed, her nightclothes certainly weren't proper for mixed company, they both turned their heads to the floor. "You're fine," Laylee assured them. "I have a feeling both of you have seen a woman in less." Timoteo chuckled.
"Not the same, Your Majesty."
She groaned under her breath, but Tristan wouldn't let her sidetrack this conversation.
"Connell, you're going to need to take the morning petitioners. Might need to handle them all week."
The prince consort's eyes narrowed as he looked up at the former gladiator.
"They want to see her. It's her first day as the official ruler of Norheim. Most of these people found some excuse just so they could check for themselves whether or not the queen is truly fit to rule. I think..."
Tristan cut him off.
"She's not up to it."
Timoteo's head snapped over, his eyes hitting the queen. It took Connell a second longer before he asked,
"Are you ill, Laylee?"
Tristan's chuckle was his answer. It said enough. Connell's face softened, his eyes grew wide, and he rushed to the end of the bed.
"Laylee?"
This was it. This was the last chance she had to put this off, but the excitement in her husband's eyes begged her to answer. Biting her lips together, she nodded, the gesture subtle. "I think I'm pregnant." Connell whooped loudly, surging forward to wrap his arms around her. Timoteo just stood there, shocked.
"Are you sure?" he asked.
"A baby!" Connell gasped at the same time.
"Really?"
Laylee tried to answer them both. "My courses haven't come and breakfast won't settle. I saw the midwife 2 days ago. She says the signs are in my favor."
"She's pregnant," Tristan assured them. "About 2 months."
That made Connell jerk back.
"Our wedding night?"
Laylee just lifted her hands. "You weren't the only one who spent the day in bed." "I don't know, Connell, maybe. It's close enough, at least."
"But..."
His eyes dropped to her waist.
"You're finally pregnant?"
"We've only been married 2 months," Laylee shot back. "Finally, Connell!" Her husband was grinning as he dared to hug her again.
"I can't believe I'm going to be a father."
Then he looked at Tristan.
"And you a dad. Of course I'll handle your morning duties. Just let me know if there's anything else you'll need, okay? Anything, Laylee."
"I need a way to stop being sick." She rubbed at her face, unable to believe she was having this talk with three men. "I'm just hoping Estelle has some ideas, because I can't be useless for the next however many months. The country will fall apart."
"I'll handle it," Connell assured her. "Timoteo can help."
But another knock interrupted whatever he was about to say. Being closest, Timoteo was the one who answered. What he saw on the other side made him chuckle as he pulled the door open. Accepting the invitation, a broad, stout man stepped in, let his eyes run over Laylee, then chuckled.
"Wolf, you're supposed to be dressed."
Crush still refused to use her title.
"She's pregnant," Timoteo informed him in a false whisper as he secured the door.
Crush just nodded, his eyes going to Tristan.
"She started getting sick, huh? Noticed her tits were bigger."
Only then did he smirk at Laylee.
"Ginger water always helped, Mara. I'll have someone bring some up. What do you need, Lay?"
Now there were four men hovering over her. Laylee just tossed her arms up. "I need something that will stay in my stomach, a dress, and my husband to at least organize the petitioners, so I can hide the fact that an unborn child is the only thing that can knock me off my feet."
"Sounds about right," Crush agreed, flashing another smile to Tristan. "I'll make sure the guard knows, but someone needs to head downstairs because the mob is getting restless." "I got it," Connell assured them. "Get dressed, Laylee. By the time you make it down, I'll have everything sorted out and ready for you."
She nodded, hating that she could no longer do all of this on her own. "Thanks, Connell. Tristan, I think the light green dress today. Crush, out." They obeyed. As soon as the door was closed, Laylee felt her chest, aware that her breasts ached and trying to determine if they were actually larger. Tristan didn't look, but his chuckle proved he'd noticed.
"They're going to get even bigger, Pop."
Then he stuck his head in her wardrobe.
"Can't say I mind."
"I do." She pushed herself to her feet, peeling off the nightdress. "How am I going to swing a sword with melons like my sister has?" He froze.
"Lay, You're not...
No, she snapped, cutting him off. Don't you dare try that. I'm just pregnant, Tristan, not an invalid. You're not taking me out of training.
But what if something happened?
He tossed the dress onto the bed and faced her.
Grigori misses a swing and hits you across the guts. Edwin knocks you to the ground. Astrid manages to stab you. It's too big of a risk. Polino's gone, Laylee. You can keep up with the basics, but no more sparring with the men.
She scoffed. And you think it's your right to tell me that? He pulled in a deep breath, his eyes never wavering.
I think that's my child, too. So, yeah, I get some say in this. Lay, how could I live with myself if I let my child die on the sands?
He'd said that to her before, as his reason for not making a move while they'd both been enslaved as gladiators. Now, even living in the palace, it was just as valid, but for different reasons. The worst part was that he was right. She knew he was. She did, but she hated it. Laylee had been raised to be a quiet and respectable girl. Tristan was the person who showed her that didn't mean she had to be weak. Now she was going to lose all of the freedom she'd fought so hard to gain. Her only purpose was to produce the next generation, and to do that, she'd have to give up everything to make sure this child stayed safe. It made her feel like the last few months had been a lie. Moisture made her vision blurry. Okay, she whispered, pushing past him to find her under things. I'll stop training.
Lay.
She couldn't. Right now, she couldn't face him, couldn't keep her voice steady, and couldn't answer without letting the tears spill from her eyes. So she just pulled on her underclothes. Not even breathing deeply would help. She'd known this would happen. In the back of her mind, she'd always known that as soon as she became a mother, she'd have to return to the life she'd been raised for. But that didn't mean she had to like it.
Lay.
This time, his hand swept the side of her neck, pulling her hair back before he kissed beneath her ear.
What's wrong, pup?
Closing her eyes helped push back the tears. Taking a deep breath made her throat relax. It was just enough to let her sound almost normal. I used to be a king, she finally admitted. Once I could do anything I wanted. Now I'm a slave. He shifted around to see her face.
The people need you. The nation needs an heir. Isn't this what you wanted?
Yeah, when my cousin was trying to kill me. She lifted her chin as she met his eyes. But Polino's gone. That doesn't mean the rest of the nobility wants me to be strong, Tristan. They want me to be a proper wife. They want the gladiator queen to shut up and let her husband rule.
It's just sparring, pup.
For now. Next, it'll be just something else until I'm not allowed to do anything at all. He paused, reaching up to wipe at her cheek, proving she hadn't stopped all the tears.
Would you feel better if I said you can still practice with Timoteo?
She nodded, but couldn't convince herself to say anything. Tristan's mouth flicked up, a smile trying to take over.
Okay, and maybe with me. I'll see if Crush can pull his shots, but that's it. No showing off, no more bouts with guardsmen or your maids. Deal?
Bobbing her head enthusiastically, she threw her arms around his neck. I promise. I'll be careful of the baby, and I'll take it easy and eat everything I'm supposed to, okay? Just don't make me stop being me. I don't want to end up resenting our baby. Smiling, he bent to press his mouth to hers. The kiss was soft and fast, but he looked so proud when he pulled away.
Sure, but only if you promise to talk to me, pup. If you feel bad one day, or if you start getting slower, I don't care. I just have to take care of you, both of you.
I promise. Now help me get dressed so I can deal with the people downstairs. They're hoping to see me weak and helpless, you know.
You,
he chuckled.
The wolf of Oberheim cannot be defeated, not even when she's pregnant, sick to her stomach, and the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
His hand caught the back of her neck.
And all of that is okay, Lay. You're allowed to be as scared of this as I am.
You're scared? She asked, leaning back to see him better. Slowly, he nodded.
Yeah. I'm terrified. I'm not going to be a good enough dad for our little one. I'm paranoid that someone will say something, and she'll lose all of her rights because she's mine and not Connell's.
Then he closed his eyes.
Laylee, I'm so scared that I'm going to mess all this up. I'm just a farmer's boy. I wasn't supposed to be the heir's father. I most certainly was not supposed to fall in love with the most powerful woman in the country.
She cupped the side of his face, feeling a little better to know she wasn't the only one panicking on the inside. You, Lord Oberheim, are the lion, my Sekor, the father of my child. If that doesn't make you noble enough, then we need to do a lot more work on our country.
He reached beside them for her dress and held it up. Then I think you're going to need this, my queen. And soon, you'll be ordering a whole new wardrobe to accommodate the little cub brewing inside you.
Little? She snagged the dress. If it takes after its dad, I'm going to be a cow next month.
Then she stepped into it, turning so he could adjust the laces. Never mind all the blubbering. You know the midwife said I'm going to get moody.
His hands were gently securing her into the dress.
You already are, Lei. It's why Crush wasn't shocked. He asked me about it 2 days ago, said you yelled at one of the stable boys for no reason. I think the guard's just been biding their time until you admit it.
She took a deep breath, waiting until he tied off the laces before turning to face him. You think it's too soon?
For the populace, yeah. Not for your men. As for your father, well, that's up to you.
No. Walking to her dressing table, she reached for her brush, making a hasty decision. You tell him. I think this is something he'd prefer to get from you. I'll have Crush attend me for the morning petitions so you can do that. Send your sister in when you pass her room. Smiling, she patted his arm and claimed the seat before her mirror, thankful her stomach was no longer trying to climb out of her throat. It wasn't happy yet, but it was stable. Behind her, Tristan chuckled as he headed for the door. She had a funny feeling he wasn't at all upset to tell her dad about the child. It's what they'd both been hoping for. All of them, actually. The country was safe, the threats against the crown had been dealt with, and the new queen was already pregnant with an heir. Everything was good. Everything was perfect. Everything felt like it was happening to someone else. Any minute now, the next wave of problems was due to arrive, and Laylee had to make sure she was one step ahead of it, because that's the only way a gladiator lived long enough to keep her crown. Chapter 2 Tristan pounded on Astrid's door as he passed, yelling through the wood that she was needed by the queen. The muffled response that came back meant he'd been heard, even if he couldn't make out the words. Glancing back once more to make sure the guards outside the entrance to Laylee and Connell's sitting room were still there and paying attention, he headed up the hall. After Ilario had abdicated his throne, he'd moved out of the royal suite, leaving it for his daughter and her husband. His rooms were now tucked far enough out of the way that the women who visited him would go unnoticed. Still, Tristan had made the trip enough times over the last month that he knew the way, and the guards stationed outside the royal father's door made it impossible to be a secret. Besides the new location, though, not much had changed. As Tristan got closer, one of the men reached over to rap on the door, warning Ilario of his guest.
"You can go in," the man assured him. "He's up." "And alone?" Tristan asked.
The guard smiled.
"Currently, he should also be in a good mood."
Which meant his latest mistress had already left. Tristan was chuckling as he entered the small sitting room, and Ilario noticed. Reclined in a chair by the window, the older man lifted one brow and cocked his head. He didn't need to say a thing. The question was clear.
"Gotta be careful with those young girls, Your Majesty. I hear at your age a man could throw his back out trying to impress them."
Ilario huffed.
"I prefer the ones old enough to still be flattered at my attention. Now, just tell me there isn't some crisis brewing in the palace."
"None," Tristan assured him.
"But I think I come bearing good news, the kind of news that deserves the very best wine."
Ilario gestured to the sideboard.
"The crystal decanter has Sanlian red, but the pitcher is filled with Amelad white. I'm fine with either."
"White, then,"
Tristan decided, filling two glasses. Ilario groaned at the delay.
"You can talk and pour, boy. What are we celebrating?"
"Wolves."
Tristan smirked as he passed over one of the glasses and claimed the chair across from him.
This morning, your daughter informed her husband that she's expecting. It seems there will be one more generation of Aravadis to sit on the Oberheim throne.
Ilario's response wasn't quite what Tristan expected.
I see. And how did Prince Connell take the news? He's overjoyed.
The old man paused for a small sip.
And what does Ur Sekhor think about this?
Tristan sighed.
I honestly didn't expect to be this nervous.
The royal father took another sip.
About whether or not it's yours?
Tristan waved that away.
It's mine, Ilario. And you're sure of that? Positive. Connell has never shared her bed, and before you panic, know that the Prince Consort has already made it clear that he intends for the children to call me Dad and him Father. He's still working out a precedent. Inside her suite, this isn't a secret. Our deal is that he handles the nobles and I take care of the marital responsibilities.
Ilario's harumph sounded like he was impressed.
How did the two of you convince that boy to agree to this? He's smart enough that he guessed the moment he saw me. She just sweetened the deal by offering true friendship, a little honest respect, and an escape from the hell he called home. Believe it or not, I actually like the guy, and he's been very good for Norheim.
That he is, Ilario agreed. He's definitely a match for her style of law.
The two of them have more than proven themselves in the last month, so when are we announcing the pregnancy?
Not yet, Tristan told him.
The midwife said she should wait, and I'm not convinced Leia's come to grips with this. I had to make her tell Connell this morning. She's been putting it off for nearly a month.
Slowly, Ilario turned his glass in his hand.
I can't say I blame her. How far along is she?
Just over 2 months. It hasn't quickened yet.
And she's sure,
Ilario asked. Tristan smiled.
I'm sure. Unless you know another reason she'd be so moody without cause. No, she's definitely pregnant, Ilario. No doubt in my mind. I just wish she acted a little more excited about this. I mean, we're starting a family. This is what she's wanted, isn't it?
It's not that simple, Ilario told him.
Tristan, she's pregnant. For a woman, that's a life-changer. Stop and think about this from her point of view. Childbirth can be dangerous. Probably a quarter of the girls she grew up with have already died to produce their husband and heir. For her, this has to be terrifying. I mean, look at what happened to her mother. And I think we both know Layli doesn't like to admit that anything can scare her.
He hadn't thought about that. Everyone knew that giving birth came with risks, but where he was from, most families were large. Sure, he'd heard stories of something tragic happening, but it always happened to someone else, usually some rich and pampered noblewoman. Then again, what was Layli if not the noblest of the noble women? Tristan tilted his glass and drained it in a single gulp.
Her mother died giving birth, right?
Yes, Ilario said. She had complications with Kale, but her second pregnancy was too much. Kalani was such a tiny woman, about Layli's size, and the physician said my children were too big for her. I'm sure Layli will be fine, but can you see why she might not be as thrilled as you'd like?
You're right,
Tristan agreed, as the reality of this started to hit him.
I hadn't thought about that. I was just so excited that we were going to have our own family. Is there anything I can do to make this easier?
Now, Ilario asked.
Not really. She's already pregnant, Tristan. Give her time and she'll get used to the idea. Just make sure she doesn't overdo and spoil her as much as you can. Find every excuse to be excited about the baby she's going to have, and always make her feel beautiful. It seems a woman's vanity takes a hit when her body changes so much. Look at her mother. That woman was miserable when she was pregnant. She was paranoid I'd think she was fat, and would lock herself away for weeks at a time so no one would see her. Kiara, though, she glowed. If anything, she was even more lovely when she was carrying my child, but she still liked it when I made a fuss over her. The strangest thing was that those two were about the same size.
Kalani and Kiara? Tristan asked.
Ilario slowly bobbed his head.
You know, Kalani's been gone a long time now, and the only thing I really remember about her was that she was beautiful. But you want to know the truth?
He smiled at his wine.
When the chief of the island gave me the pick of his daughters, I chose the one that looked the most like Kiara.
Tristan chuckled.
Evidently, you knew what you liked. And I'm convinced Laylee got her stubbornness from Kiara because she's as pig-headed as Dario sometimes.
No, Ilario assured him.
That was all me. Nah, it's well known that my children got their beauty from their mothers and their manners from me.
Tristan paused.
But Lay and her sister look so much alike.
Ilario lifted his glass slightly.
Or maybe it's from me, after all. The truth is, I've always just assumed it was Kalani and never thought twice about it. Not that it matters. The populace wants something to remember the late queen by, and it doesn't get better than her daughter. Most of them never saw the woman.
Yeah, I can see that, Tristan agreed.
The former king pried himself out of his chair to grab the pitcher of wine and passed it over.
And pick out names. I'm personally voting for an Ilario.
Don't think that would be suitable for a daughter. Unfortunately, my family names are out. Do you think it would cause a stir if we chose something new?
Of course it would. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, though. My boy, the more people talk about her child, the more secure its place will be in the line of succession. Just try not to be too obvious about it.
Don't worry, he teased. We're not going to name our daughter after me.
So sure it's going to be a girl.
Tristan shook his head.
Not at all, but I'm hoping. I figure if Nora Haim has a second queen in a row, then I won't have to fear for her future. I'd like one of each, at least, but I'm honestly hoping for a daughter first, just so I won't have to see her married off to some faraway country.
Ilario chuckled.
Never mind that it's easier to spoil them. No one will complain when a man turns stupid over his little girl, but gush over a son in public. The entire court starts whispering about how weak he'll be.
So how'd you manage with yours?
That earned Tristan a smile.
It was easy with Dario. The king showing favor to his friend's kid. No one thought anything of it. But with Kale, I had to be more subtle. We'd play, but always something military, although building forts made him happiest. When he got older, the horses were a good excuse. My favorite part, though, was reading to him. I made it clear that he would learn the history of the country from his father, then tuck him into my lap and read the best stories I could find until he fell asleep.
A few about a woman warrior, huh?
Tristan had heard about that from Laylee. The royal father tipped his head in acknowledgement.
Meridia, yes. She was an ancient princess who married one of the northern tribesmen. When her husband died, she took over his clan and led them to become one of the strongest in the Northlands. When Laylee was born, he begged me to name her after the character, and I'm ashamed to say I gave in easily.
Well, maybe I should read that one to my little girl, so she learns where her mother got her name.
Tristan took another healthy sip of his wine.
And hopefully her grandfather will teach her how to ride a horse. We both know that I'm shit at it.
I'd be proud to, Ilario assured him. And I'm too old now to care if anyone thinks I'm spoiling my grandson. Maybe I'll even find him a pony to match the Secors and convince you to put a little more effort into it. If nothing else, at least the kids will want to spend time with you. That's the beauty of being one step removed from the hassles of royalty, Tristan. It won't be your fault they need to study, but you'll be the one there to teach them the fun things.
Like sword work.
Exactly.
Ilario leaned back and sighed.
You're going to be a great father, my boy, and Laylee will be the most amazing mother. I'm proud of you both.
And Connell, Tristan reminded him. He'll make them smart, I'll make them strong, and Laylee will make them unstoppable.
That she will, Ilario agreed.
My perfect little girl is going to be a mother.
The best mother.
Definitely. You just have to make sure her little princeling doesn't get above himself. Now that Laylee's pregnant, she's not going to be able to go as hard as before. Eventually, the sickness will hit.
Started this morning, Tristan interrupted.
Connell is covering for her with the petitioners.
Ilario held up a finger.
And none of us know if he'll start to like the attention more than he should. If she lets him do too much, she may get it in his head that he could rule.
Don't let him. That's your job right now. Don't you dare let him take advantage of her condition.
Connell,
Tristan shook his head.
I'm not sure I can be more clear, Ilario. He's happy in the library. He's got all the skills to rule, but none of the ambition. We're fine. He was a good choice.
I know, but I also know that Paulino was once a sweet and obedient boy. People change, Tristan, and power can change even the most trusted friend into an enemy. One even more dangerous, because they know our secrets. I just want you two to be careful, right now more than ever. Until her son is born. Or daughter.
Or daughter, Ilario conceded.
But until the heir is here, Laylee's reign isn't safe. I told you before, but I'm going to say it again. The palace isn't any safer than the sands of the gladiator arena. Her life is still at risk, and it always will be so long as that crown is on her head. They'll have to get through me to get to them, and through her guard before that. No one will harm my queen. I promise you that.
I know, boy. That's why you're family. Now, what do you think about the name Leandra? I like how it implies a lion, and so does your surname. I think it would be an excellent choice.
Tristan topped up his glass one more time and forced himself not to think about the possibilities of raising his child alone.
I'd have to call her Leo, of course, so she'd get a tough nickname. And if it's a boy, will you be that upset, Tristan?
No, he assured his father-in-law.
I'm rooting for Alaric for a son. It means wolf.
Ilario Alaric, the old man teased. Has a nice ring to it.
Tristan laughed and held up his glass in a mock toast.
I'm not sure you'll win this one. Although Alaric Ilario Aravati does sound rather regal.
Yes, it does. So does Leandra Estelle.
I like it,
Tristan agreed before offering yet another option. Naturally, Ilario had a counter and then another. Some names were noble, some were common, but it didn't matter. They both knew Laylee and Connell would be the ones to pick the child's name. All they could do was daydream, but right now, that was enough. It was their own way of fawning over the baby before it was even born. Chapter 3 Only a few minutes after Tristan left, Astrid swirled into Laylee's room with Alessia. Essa, as she preferred to be called, right behind her. These were the only two maids Laylee had so far. That would have to change now that she had a crown on her head. The problem was finding people she could trust. Astrid had been one of the first to learn that the relationship between the queen and her secor was more than just professional, mostly because she knew her brother. No matter how hard Tristan tried, he couldn't hide his feelings from that girl. Thankfully, Astrid was thrilled it was mutual. On the other hand, Essa was Laylee's half-sister. For most of the girl's life, she'd known her real father was the king, but her legal one was his best friend, the Master of Horse. Laylee had only discovered the truth recently. That Essa was an accomplished seamstress gave the queen an excuse to not only pamper her, but also to finally get to know her own sister. Bringing Essa into their confidence hadn't been intentional. That had been Dario's doing. To quell the rumors about his devotion to the queen, Tristan had made one single attempt to flirt with the girl. Essa had rebuked him loudly, proving she wasn't as meek and demure as she pretended in public, then ran right to her brother to make sure it wouldn't happen again. Dario had told her everything, including why Tristan made the attempt, for public perception, and Essa had admitted it to Laylee. She claimed it was to keep her position as the royal seamstress. Laylee knew better. Family loyalty was strong in the Aravati line, even if Essa and Dario couldn't claim the name. Hiring her as a lady's maid had quieted a few complaints of the men in court, who said Laylee was flouting tradition, and it meant the queen had two friends she could actually trust who weren't men. Her guard were great, but they were men. Some things, such as pregnancy, they simply couldn't understand. As the girls got to work making the queen presentable for the public, Laylee closed her eyes and tried to force her unruly guts to behave. She really needed more maids, but the last thing she wanted in her life were any more complications. Between pregnancy, what happened in her bedroom, and all the other secrets she had to keep to herself, finding the right women would take an act of the gods. One wrong word, and her entire reign would fall apart.
You okay? Astrid asked,
hearing her sigh. Laylee jiggled her head. Just not feeling well. Morning sickness finally hit. Laylee's head snapped around. Did Tristan tell you?
No,
Astrid laughed. Lay, I change your sheets. The washing girls have made more than enough comments about how clean they are that I probably guessed before my lug of a brother. So it's true?
You're pregnant? Essa asked, moving to Laylee's other side.
I'm pregnant, Laylee admitted. The midwife says about 2 months, which means right after the wedding, so we don't have to worry about that, but not to announce it for at least another month.
Until it quickens, Essa agreed, picking at the fabric of Laylee's skirt. While you're listening to petitions, I'll start letting out your dresses a bit, but we're going to have to talk about what you want to do for the swelling.
Swelling? Laylee asked. On the other side, Astrid patted her own belly.
The one that's going to be right about here.
We can hide that? Laylee asked, turning to look at Essa. The girl nodded.
The same way we hide the daggers we wear. You have two options. Either we can design your clothes with more drape across the torso, or we can add in support to hold the baby tighter. The first option means more cloth. The second isn't as comfortable.
Will it hurt my baby? Laylee asked, knowing immediately which she preferred. Essa chewed at her lower lip.
I've never heard of it being a problem, and many women say it reduces the back pain. It's how the unmarried girls hide their condition for as long as possible.
All Laylee could do was groan. Back pain was one more joy she got to look forward to over the next few months. Why was it that the secrets of motherhood only came out after a woman was expecting? Then again, if it wasn't a secret, there would probably be a lot less babies in the world.
Let's try that, Laylee decided. Get me a few designs, and we'll see if they work.
You have time, Essa assured her. Laylee shook her head.
Not as much as I want. That's what no one seems to understand. Paulino was the conditional heir before Kale was born, so he knew how close he was. Once I name someone as a stand-in, I'm basically painting a target right across my stomach.
No, Essa assured her.
The country loves you. We want an Aravati on the throne.
Maybe so, but the nobles close enough to have a chance. They won't care. Laylee sighed.
Power tempts everyone, and it's not just our own court we have to worry about. If I don't have a clear line of succession, the Deatons and Rheons...
Her voice trailed off.
What? Astrid asked. You just had a thought.
Rheons, Laylee murmured to herself.
Astrid, do you remember the attack on us when we were returning from Moylock, back before I was married?
Yeah.
Astrid cast a quick glance to Essa. Kinda hard to forget people trying to kill me.
Exactly. Did you know Tristan and I saw an envoy in the palace a few days before we left, talking to one of Paulino's men?
She unconsciously brushed a hand across her stomach protectively. If anything happens to me before this child is born, it would be like throwing open the doors to our warmongering neighbors. Once it's known that I'm pregnant, it will force their hands.
Both girls shared a look over her head. Astrid lifted one shoulder in an almost shrug. Essa sighed, and then both nodded slowly. They knew she was right. As soon as Laylee announced her condition, it would be assumed that she was weak and helpless. There could be no better time to strike, and if her child was killed along with her, Norheim would basically be up for grabs.
So we don't announce it, Essa decided. Not until the last possible moment. Name a conditional heir, someone you can trust, and leave the appearances to us.
In the mirror, Laylee saw Astrid nodding emphatically.
I doubt you'll even show before the 4th month. Your muscles are strong, and most farm girls don't start showing until then.
Really?
Laylee was starting to feel a little better about this.
Most of the noble women are in smocks by the 3rd month and waddling by the 4th.
For the attention, Essa fake whispered. If their husbands know they're bred, they won't get harassed anymore and it validates their worth.
Which is one thing you don't have to worry about, Astrid added, as she tied in the last strand.
Just focus on finding a loyal temporary heir. The two of us will come up with something to keep the gladiator queen looking as formidable as ever. Now, how are we doing your face?
A hint of rouge, Essa recommended. She's looking a little blanched.
Not too much, Laylee told her.
so they understand why I'm running late. I am allowed to have off days, and it will make it easier to explain any in the future. Then she turned back to her sister. Essa, I need to be able to move in whatever you come up with. If that ends up as a little protection for the cub, then even better, right? And the gossip that will come with you changing styles, Essa asked, sounding understanding rather than judgmental. I mean, it won't be long before we're the same size, so that'll make it easier. Laylee waved away her sister's concerns. I learned to ignore what anyone else thinks in the gladiatorial games. I'm more worried about the loss of balance when I spar. Both girls nodded, not shocked to hear that Laylee planned to keep up her training. Considering how enthusiastically they'd taken to their own combat lessons, it made sense. The problem was that she didn't know what to expect. The last thing Laylee wanted to do was harm her child, and Tristan's concern earlier had her second-guessing herself. It felt like there was no right answer. No matter what she did, she'd be letting her baby down in one way or another. All she wanted was someone to tell her she was doing the right thing. Tristan tried to tell me I couldn't spar, she mumbled, hoping to elicit a response. She got one from Astrid. He's just being an overbearing ass. Mama worked the farm until the last few weeks and was very proud of that. According to her, she went into labor herding in the sheep. With Tristan? Laylee gasped. Astrid laughed. How do you know? Dahl was paranoid when she was pregnant with Bryce, so she spent the last month caring for the house. With me, she didn't get much of an option. Dahl was already gone by the time I was born. I'm sorry, Laylee told her, remembering that their father had died in the wars with Rhea. Astrid shrugged it off. I had two big brothers. Pretty sure I didn't miss out on much. I'm just saying that there's nothing to worry about, and if Tristan or Connell try to put a leash on you, let us know. We'll set them straight, Essa promised. Although I don't see Connell being like that. Tristan? She shrugged. The Secor wasn't Essa's ideal type of man. He was a little too blunt, a lot too big, and definitely intimidating. Laylee knew better, but she also understood. Essa's first introduction had been a rather crass comment from the man, so it only made sense that it tainted her sister's opinion. In all honesty, Laylee kinda liked that her friends had no interest in her lover. Since she had no legal claim on him, all she could do was hope she never lost his attention. Connell, on the other hand, was different. Essa adored him, just like everyone else. The prince consort had done a good job of insinuating himself into Laylee's inner circle and proving his loyalty was truly to the Aravati crown. And he was her friend, a real friend, the kind that she could actually trust. For a moment, Laylee sat there chewing on her lip. Maybe she didn't need to worry so much about a legal heir. If anyone would keep Nora Haim safe, it would be her husband and his brilliant mind. She just had to make sure her marriage agreement wouldn't prohibit it. What? Astrid asked, seeing her expression. Nothing, Laylee insisted, blinking quickly to get her focus back to the here and now. Seriously, what? I'm just moody. I feel like everything makes my mind wander, and it feels like there's so much to do and so little time. I'm sure it's just the baby. Leaning closer to the mirror, she checked her cosmetics, hoping she looked better than she felt. You know Tristan wants a girl first. What about Connell? Essa asked. Laylee shrugged. I don't think he cares. The guys have talked about how the oldest will be the heir regardless of gender, and Tristan is adamant that Nora Haim needs another queen. She twisted in her chair to face her maids. Do you think he'd be upset if it's a boy? No, Astrid told her. Not at all. Granted, I think your son would end up the best swordsman in the kingdom, but I'm not sure your daughter won't be able to say the same. I think Tristan just wants to be a dad. He kinda does. She couldn't stop the smile. Said he wants a whole brood, but I'm not so sure about that. Men like the trying, Essa teased. And they're not the ones that have to carry it around until it's ready. But he's going to spoil you so bad. Astrid paused, cutting off the end of her own sentence. I'm going to have to talk to him about that. If he pampers you too much. Well, there's already people wondering why your husband doesn't have a problem with him. Of course there are, Laylee grumbled. Connell says he should flirt with the shy girls to prove the reason he's not interested in me is because I'm too manly.
Sorry, Essa mumbled.
Laylee waved her off. I think you proved you're not one of the shy girls. I just need you two to keep your eyes open for someone who won't yell at him for being improper. Preferably someone who'll just blush and run away.
And not be disgusted by his common birth, Essa added. Most of the young ladies in the palace are only worried about how high their marriage will place them. I mean, since their mothers make it sound like what happens in the marriage bed is only entertaining for the men.
It's not, Laylee assured them. At least, it doesn't have to be. Growing up, my maid told me it's only unpleasant when the man cares nothing for his partner.
Your mom, she told Essa, made sure I knew that too. She said that even if I didn't love my husband, so long as I found him attractive, it wouldn't be the chore my peers claimed.
Essa nodded.
Mama gave me the same lecture. The problem was I'd already figured out that Dad wasn't my father and asked her if that's why she got her children from the king.
Laylee laughed. Were you old enough to know he didn't just grant them?
No, Essa admitted. I honestly thought she petitioned him or something.
The look on Mama's face...
She told me to never say anything like that, and that Dad was my dad, and that was the end of it.
I miss her, Laylee breathed. She was the closest thing I ever had to a mother.
And she loved you, Essa told her. Always talked about what the king's daughter had done.
I hated you for the longest time because of it.
I didn't mean to, Laylee insisted.
You didn't even know, Essa said.
I think we spoke twice before you were kidnapped. It was just me trying to be as good as you in Mom's eyes. When you stitched your first full piece of trim, I took up sewing, so I can't really complain.
She ducked her head to hide her smile.
I figured if you were making trim, then I'd make the whole dress. I think it worked out well enough.
Laylee grabbed her hand, squeezing it gently.
I just wish I'd known about you and my two brothers sooner.
You wouldn't have cared back then, Essa reminded her gently.
Until you were taken from us, all you knew how to do was be the perfect marriage prospect. Dario's right. The games changed you, and I hate to say it, but I think it was a good change.
Dad says the same.
Astrid leaned closer.
What do you think?
Laylee paused. She honestly didn't know. Not really.
From her perspective, she'd just been trying to survive, and then trying to save Tristan.
But she had changed. It wasn't killing men in the arena that had done it, either.
I think that hearing someone tell me I might as well be a man made me look at the world differently. I think that finding a friend I could trust with everything is what changed me. Tristan was the first person who had no idea that my father's name made me important. He judged me on who I was, not this.
And she waved at the opulence of the room.
Yet he still liked what he found.
He approved of me. And I think that gave me the confidence to make everything else work.
Because if someone like him respected me, then the least I should do was respect myself.
Long live the gladiator queen, Astrid whispered as she smoothed down Laylee's hair.
And you're as beautiful as I can make you.
Essa nodded, stepping back to let Laylee up from her chair.
You go handle the country. I'll get Astrid to help me carry your gowns back to my suite, so we can give your bosom a bit more breathing room.
Laylee's mouth flopped open.
My tits are not that much bigger.
The two maids just smiled. Chapter 4. As soon as Laylee stepped out of her room, Crush met her with a full glass and a smile.
Ginger water, he declared, then crossed his arms, refusing to move out of her way. Drink it.
4 weeks with the man, and she'd learned one thing about him. Crush was determined, and in this case, that meant she'd be going absolutely nowhere until she downed the water. Her first sip was tentative, but when her stomach didn't revolt, she grew braver. When the glass was finally empty, she passed it back. He set it on a decorative table outside her door, not concerned about the water ring it would leave on the wood.
My wife will be here tomorrow, and I'll find out what else we can do to make you a little more comfortable, okay? She had a rough time of it with our boys, so we'll know how to help.
I'm fine, Laylee insisted. I just had a little argument with my breakfast.
Yeah, and you're gonna.
He cleared his throat to keep from grinning too much.
And you're gonna have to let us men do our part. You have a guard for a reason, Wolf. We take care of you. If that means holding your hair back and rubbing your feet, then we'll do it.
That was it. Her anger couldn't stand up to the honest, if gruff, concern in his voice. She'd been a gladiator, but not as long as Crush, and neither had seen the number of fights Tristan had lived through. The rest of her guard were just minor nobles, or the sons of wealthy merchants, but when they joined the heir's guard months before, something had changed. They'd all become gladiators in their own way. Dirty, nasty fighters. Those men had formed a bond Laylee couldn't begin to explain, but it reminded her a lot of what commoners made a family sound like.
Okay, she finally said, accepting Crush's reasoning. I'll let you boys spoil me on one condition.
Name it.
She tilted her head slightly. You try to leave me a little pride? I'm not a broodmare, Crush, and I refuse to let anyone make me into one.
Nah, you're the gladiator queen, hun. Birthing an heir is just like a long, drawn-out siege. Our duty is to give you as much assistance in the battle as we can so you can manage the hard stuff.
Then he winked. She punched him playfully in the arm, which was very, very solid, still shocked at how good he looked in white. Her men had only taken on the colors of the Queen's Guard 1 week ago, at her coronation, and it was going to take her a while to get used to seeing them in anything but black. They wore it well, though. There was something about seeing five big, imposing men in pristine white that was its own brand of intimidating. And speaking of battles, she told him, lifting her chin defiantly, I think we need to keep this one to ourselves for a bit. I'd like to talk to the guard about it this afternoon. I also need the men's opinion on something, so Queen's Guard and my most trusted friends only. He nodded once.
I can do that. Not one of those boys is going to say a word until the lion tells them they can, so you don't need to worry about us.
Okay, she breathed, feeling a bit better about all of this. To the large reception hall, Crush. I have citizens to appease.
Lead on, Wolf.
The moment she stepped off, he fell in behind her and to the left. Tristan always hovered slightly to her right. When she had both, it made her feel like there was a solid wall at her back, one that nothing could get through. Considering they were two of the biggest men she'd ever seen in her life, it was probably a little intimidating to anyone foolish enough to get in her way. Even worse, Crush never said a word except to her or her guardsmen. To the rest of the world, he might as well be a walking statue. Laylee led him down the stairs, through the halls, and toward the largest audience chamber in the building. Unlike the petitioners, she used a different door, one at the back of the room that would open up behind the pair of thrones. When Laylee stepped onto the dais, she tried to do it quietly, well aware that Connell was speaking.
Her Majesty will support my ruling, he told the man standing before him. The law is clear on this issue, but...
He paused, hearing the door, and turned to see her.
Oh, you got dressed faster than I expected.
Ignoring the merchant, whose face proved he wasn't happy with the decision, the prince consort moved to greet her. At the back of the room, he clasped her arms, bending his head closer to hers for what looked like an intimate moment. Laylee smiled up at him, then reached up to push back a wayward strand of his hair. Sorry I took so long.
You're fine, he whispered. That one just needs to cool off. He's adamant that because he sweeps his neighbor's porch, it means he owns it. I think he was hoping you'd feel sympathetic or something.
Ah. Laylee looked over Connell's shoulder at the assembly, watching them. The minor nobility were lined up along the edges of the room. A cluster of commoners stood at the back, the line of them flowing past the doors, held at bay by a group of royal guards in gray. The space directly before the throne was empty, except for the disgruntled citizen, reserved for whoever was allowed to address the monarch of Norheim. That was her. Her husband was a stand-in, but one the people were learning to accept willingly. Hopefully, she could find a way to give him a little more power, but she wanted to make sure her guards agreed first. And she hadn't missed how Connell made it sound like something very different from purging her guts had happened, so she flashed him a smile as she moved forward to address the petitioner. That one casual comment would most likely be quoted later when people claimed they weren't surprised about her pregnancy, since she and her husband seemed so very fond of each other. They were, just not in a romantic way. Connell had his lover, Laylee had hers.
The one time they'd shared a bed, it had been to research laws. But that night, she'd found a friend she knew she couldn't live without, and certainly one her country needed desperately. The only hard part was making sure their strange and improper little family stayed a secret from the rest of the world. If anyone realized Laylee was pregnant with another man's child, it could ruin everything. So could the knowledge that her husband's lover was a man. None of these things were done, and yet Laylee was doing them and making it work perfectly, so far. But they only managed to keep up the charade because their duties were always handled. If there was nothing to complain about, then there was no reason to look too deep at the Queen's convoluted life. So long as her husband was happy and the country kept running, they were fine. Which meant delaying her first public reception was a bigger deal than she really wanted to admit. For as long as she could remember, her father had handled this. Once a week, he'd thrown open the doors of the palace to anyone with a complaint, then spent the day listening to as many as he could. He said it kept him in touch with the populace. To Laylee, it was just how things were done. Now, her dad got to enjoy sleeping in as his reward for abdicating the throne, and she was supposed to carry on, keeping the country's change in leadership smooth and comfortable for the people. In other words, she had a week of doing this every day to catch up for all the public sessions that got skipped in the celebration time between her father's abdication and her coronation. "Good morning," Laylee told the assembly. "My apologies for being late. Like my father before me, I intend to hear all of you that I can. Your cases will be brought forward in the order they are received, unless they are time-sensitive. If so, please be sure to tell a guardsman." Turning, she found her throne and eased herself into it. The chair was a monstrosity of well-polished wood, engraved with wolves, roses, and other symbols of those who had ruled the country before. Mostly wolves, but her father had made one change in the last decade which she truly appreciated. He'd had the seat padded to ease his aging bones. That allowed her to lean back and pretend to be comfortable instead of merely praying that her stomach continued to obey. The hardest part was reminding herself not to grab for her midsection. Instead, she gestured for the merchant to continue.
"Majesty," he said, bobbing his head in a parody of a bow. "As I was explaining to your husband, my shop has a porch that is attached to the one beside me. Two parts of the same building, ma'am."
Connell cleared his throat at the inappropriate title, but a flick of Laylee's fingers dismissed it.
"Majesty," the man mumbled, realizing his mistake. "For 5 years, I've had to sweep his half as well as my own, so my customers wouldn't have to step over the debris. Last week, when I noticed a set of worn planks, I replaced them, and most of the deck, to be a more attractive style. It's come time for the bill to be paid, but my neighbor refuses to acknowledge his share. I feel that since he benefits from this, he should be partly responsible for the fee, right? If he defaults, wouldn't that make the entire porch my possession?"
Laylee lifted her brow, realizing Connell was right. This man hoped a woman wouldn't be as strict about the law. "Did you talk to your neighbor about the changes before they were made?"
"No, Majesty."
"I see. So what made you decide to make these alterations if you didn't have a promise of repayment?"
"They needed to be done. Anyone who uses the steps on his side may have fallen through. I have no idea how many."
Laylee lifted a hand, halting him mid-sentence. "Sir, you improved access to your own facility at your own expense. It is not unreasonable to request that your neighbor share the financial burden, but before you did the work, not after. You have no legal recourse here." His eyes went wide, and the man stared at the Queen in shock.
"But I was sure you'd understand. They're expecting me to pay for the wood and labor in full, and I don't have it. I could lose my shop over this because the baker expects me to take care of it all. He thinks that because I've been doing it, he can just sit back and enjoy my hard work without even a thank you. Isn't that something you've had to deal with? How often has your husband taken your hard work for granted?"
She smiled. "So you believe I should award the monies to your wife?"
"Well, no, but..."
He paused, unable to finish the sentence on his own. Laylee tipped her head toward him. "I think you misunderstand my position, sir. By your own admission, you're benefiting from this expense. As a good man, you've helped your neighbor. As a woman, I can assure you, I know what it's like to have your hard work be unappreciated, but that is a very different thing from expecting my husband to pay me for cooking after he's eaten the meal.
You took it upon yourself to make the changes. You, therefore, took it upon yourself to cover the expenses. Asking in a polite manner.